Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
Why am I playing this song, everyone? Well, it's episode 208, and there's a specific date. That's right. It's the 21st day of September, so I thought a little Earth, Wind, and Fire would be appropriate. But welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. That was us grooving in, me, myself, and Eric Nathanson. How you doing, Eric, today?
I'm doing well. Grooving to the music. Great feeling with competitive playoff possible baseball this last week of the season. We couldn't ask for anything else right now. I
might just play us out and we're done. Sorry. I couldn't help it. I like that song a lot. So we had one of our good friends' weddings was on September 10th, actually, but they played that song during the wedding and we just had some really good memories from that. But I love that song. It is the 21st day of September, and here we are, Eric, last week of the season, of the regular season, and this is nail-biting time. This is where it gets crazy, but like we talked about all season, if the Giants could be in the race during the last week of this short, weird 2020 pandemic season, we'd be all for it, and that's exactly where the Giants are. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, the week that was, and kind of what the Giants have to do to try and make this playoff spot as a wild card. So reviewing last week, since we recorded last Monday, they went 3-2, but actually dropped a little bit in the wild card standings, and this is where it gets a little scary. So they're 26-26. They're even Steven, but here's the problem. They're tied with Cincinnati and Milwaukee for the eighth spot in terms of record, but Cincinnati holds the tiebreaker over both teams because they have a head-to-head matchup with Milwaukee at 4-3. And they also have a better intra-divisional record, which is the second tiebreaker in this weird year. So they have a better intra-divisional record than the Giants and the Brewers. And the Brewers have a better record than the Giants. So right now the Giants are sitting third in that ranking, even though they all have essentially the same record. So, I mean, it's a little weird. And they know it was going to be unfair this year because, I mean, these teams don't even play each other. There's no common opponents. You know, the Giants didn't play the Brewers or the Reds or whatever. And then the Brewers and the Reds get to beat up on the Pirates, right? And they don't have a stalwart teams like the Dodgers and the Padres. And the Padres have definitely cleaned up against the Giants this year. So that interdivisional record, unfortunately, is just worse for the Giants because they got a tougher division.
Well, I mean, they have gone 8-2 against Arizona, so that helped them out with that one. And they have the opportunity this week with 4 against Colorado and then 4 more against San Diego to improve on that intra-divisional record.
They do have a chance, yep.
If they do that, then they're going to probably win enough games to make the playoffs anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't really do much in the tie-breaking scenarios. There's not a lot of scenarios. There's no scenarios where they can go like, I mean, they'd have to go 6-2 or something like that, and so would some of the other teams. But even then, intra-divisional is going to play out because everybody's playing within their division, it seems, during the last week.
I agree. I was looking at the interdivisional records, and let's take a look at them right now. So the Giants sit at 15-17 is their NL West record. The Brewers are only one game ahead at 16-16. And then the Cardinals, who are also in the mix for the wild card, technically they hold the second playoff spot in the Central, but they could be swapping with the Reds, so we got to consider them in play for the wild card as well. They're only 1.5 games ahead of the Giants at 17-16. And then the Reds at a full 2 games ahead of the Giants at 19-17. And so you're right. They're all really close, but if they're going to improve that divisional record, over the Reds, Cardinals, and Brewers, or either or, they're probably going to get that spot via just the plain old record anyway, because like you said, these teams beat up on each other anyway. So the wins that they have are going to improve their interdivisional record and keep them ahead of the Giants. So that's what's going to, you know.
It's 6-2, I really think 6-2 is what's going to do it. I'm not sure they can do that. The hope is that Colorado just feels like they're dead, and so the Giants can beat up on them at home, where we'll talk about they play better. And then maybe the Padres will have clinched their spot at like the 4 seed or something like that, and maybe they won't run out their best lineup those last couple days of the season, and the Giants can, you know, improve upon
that. I was thinking the same thing, Eric. San Diego locked up a playoff spot yesterday. They're in, right? They're not going to be a wild card. The Giants can't catch them. There's no danger there. And they're 4 games behind the Dodgers with 8 to play. So in theory, yes, the Padres could catch the Dodgers, but in reality, it's not going to happen. It's just not. And because they play them the last 4 games of the season, hopefully that will be resolved or extremely close to being resolved, right? Where the Dodgers have clinched the West. The Padres cannot fall any further, and they're solidly in there as that number two. And so the only other question would be seeding against the East and Central number twos, but they are so far ahead of the Marlins and the Cardinals by 6 games and 8 games respectively that they're not going to lose that either. So the reality is, most likely, I know this is a lot of math, guys. Sorry. It's just we're looking at scenarios here. I mean, think about it, right? If you're a team that's heading to the playoffs, you want to set your rotation. You want to rest some of your stars, right? Maybe not play in full games. So I think there is a really good chance that the Padres could be coming into Oracle, and I'm sure they're going to roll out their star lineup 1 or 2 out of the 4 games, but they're going to reset their rotation. They're going to get their number ones ready for that 3-game playoff series. And so I hope you're right, Eric, and I'm betting on the same thing, that they're going to face a weaker Padres team and a Padres team that isn't exactly going to be going out there balls to the wall trying to do everything they can to win these games. And that could give the Giants a distinct advantage.
Yeah. And they got to take care of business first, though, against Colorado, and that's the key. And I mean, it's so funny because we're about to. I mean, we'll go back over the last week or two, but they've played 8 games in the last 14 days. It's really just strange how the season's come down. They've had cancellations because of a protest, cancellations because of a non-actual COVID test, and cancellation because of wildfires. No rainouts. But
I know, isn't that all these not single
and they're not going to have one. I mean, unless I don't know something about the next week and the weather in San Francisco, they're not going to have
the weather through
rain
Sunday
out.
Is clear. And in fact, it's going to get warm this weekend. So no problems with rainouts. It doesn't look like air quality is going to be a major problem. So hopefully they'll be able to knock everything out. But let's talk about this week. That was like I said, they were 3-2. It started out extremely well. They actually flew up to Seattle, and they were supposed to play 2 up there. Of course, the previous week, the Giants took care of business and beat Seattle twice at Oracle, so now they had to go back up there. But if you saw any of that A's game the night before, holy crap. I mean, that was bad, man. I mean, even their, you know, young 22-year-old, you know, phenom was up there going, I couldn't breathe. I'm young and I'm healthy, and I had problems breathing. And you saw fly balls going to the outfield, and it was just this dense smoke out there. I mean, it really looked like fireworks had gone off, and that's what was settling in. It was unhealthy. AQI was around 280 at the start of that game. And if you remember, the NFL, their AQI limit is 200. That's the air, you know, quality index. And so even though the Niners game the previous week was not postponed, ultimately, baseball said, oh, 280, screw it, let's go. And so that's what was really, really strange about it. And of course, they got a lot of flack for that. I think that heightened the sensitivity to the issue. So when the Giants flew in, the AQI was just as high. And they said, okay, we're not playing. This is not safe for the players. Certain the Mariners have been exposed for multiple days. So they talked and they agreed to fly back down to Oracle. And they'd be playing in San Francisco, but with the Giants as the road team. So immediately I was like, hey, this might actually work out for the Giants. They play so much better in the confines of Oracle, regardless if they're visitor or home. So, and that's kind of what turned out. I don't know. What do you think about that when they first announced that that's what they were going to do?
Same thought. Oh, advantage Giants. And by the end of the two games, it actually totally shook out that way. It was, you know, it sucked. It was weird because that game you covered with the orange sky, you know, that was the like dystopian nightmare kind of baseball scene. Nope. That A's Mariners game the night before the Giants flew up there, that looked like the dystopian nightmare. I mean, Laureano said it shouldn't be hard for him to breathe when he's stepping to the line. So it's not even when he's, you know, running around he's complaining about. Just standing outside is what he was talking about. And I agree. MLB caught the flack, and that's why that had to happen. And immediately I thought, okay, good. This could help the Giants make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Take care of business against the Mariners, and they went out and did that. What was the Tuesday score? You've got it in front of you. I do not.
Yeah, actually, they were supposed to play Tuesday.
Wednesday score.
Yeah, that's everything was delayed
thing.
One day.
It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. It was really totally off.
It was totally off. They were supposed to have off days on Monday and Thursday. They ended up actually playing on Thursday because they moved everything back. But yeah, Wednesday they went out at Oracle. And had a 9-3 win over the Mariners. It actually started out much similarly to that game that you referred to, the Orange Sky game. They won that one 10-1 where I was there because the Giants immediately, after four innings, took a 9-0 lead, partially right. Thanks to the help of Brandon Belt.
Belt hits a high drive out into Triples Alley. Can anybody get there? They cannot. It's gone. Belt way out into Triples Alley.
It's gone.
It's a two-run home run, and it's 4-0 Giants.
That's what he used to call homers there. That's why.
I mean, that was Triples Alley. That is where baseballs go to die. And so it's definitely happened several times. I actually haven't seen an article or looked at any stats of how many Giants home runs have now been hit into Triples Alley. But that was one of them right there. So Brandon Belt just benefited off of the new dimensions of the ballpark, and so did the Giants. That was good.
That was a good night. You're right. They just kept piling on and piling on.
Yeah, we also had homers by Evan Longoria and Brandon Crawford, three hits each by Alex Dickerson and Crawford. And here's what was really cool is that a lot of these big, you know, crooked numbers are usually kind of one or two players are responsible for it. They had seven different Giants with at least one RBI, and they had nine runs. So that was really cool. Two players had two. Another five had one. So it was kind of the offense was spread evenly. Drew Smyly got the start based off of his previous performance where he went out and struck out like eight in four innings in relief. But he wasn't that solid. But Kepler ended up using seven pitchers, and they still only allowed those three runs. So in the end, it was an easy win. No issues at all. And then Thursday, I believe, was an afternoon game. And this is very similar to game one the previous week at Oracle Park, in which they were down to the Mariners 5-1. They were down 4-1 after five innings in this game. But the Giants rallied for two in the sixth and three in the seventh. And actually, I think we just lost Eric. I hope he's still there.
I'm still here on audio.
Oh, no worries. And then with the score 4-3, Mariners with two outs, Eric's favorite term, his Twitter handle, Wilmer Flores came up to the plate.
Lined into the gap, and nobody's there. We will watch Basabe. Is he going to score? You bet he is. And the Giants take the lead. Is Flores is headed to third with a triple. And now Scott's.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was timely hit.
Was that the one that, here it is, Basabe walked. He worked that walk, and it was so impressive. I like what I've seen out of this kid so far.
Yeah, so far. Exactly. Now, Basabe's he got his first major league hit the other day, too. So he's really athletic. They're talking about how fast this kid is. He's extremely fast. So he definitely probably has a future, on this team for sure. So anyway, they went on to hold on to a 6-4 win. It was another comeback win. And that's one kind of staple for the Giants this year because of their offense and their ability for lately, anyway, the second half of the season, for their bullpen to hold down the fort after the starter might have coughed up a few runs. They've been able to come back from multiple fairly decent deficits this year. So they've kind of stolen probably three or four wins this year just based off of that. Now, they've given up just as many earlier in the season, too, with some bullpen meltdowns. So, you know, kind of evening it out. But it's really good to see the second half of them doing this.
This was a bullpen game, too, because Tyler Anderson getting ejected was not something that anybody saw coming. It was just, you know, one of those moments where he was upset with the home plate umpire, and he kind of showed him up a little bit. But, I mean, it really was, I'm not even sure it warranted, but then he let the expletives fly. And it was good that the Giants bullpen could hold, and it's what a playoff team, so hopefully they can do it against Colorado.
Yeah, no, he was very apologetic after the game for doing that. He realized that he put a lot of stress on the Giants, especially with so many games coming.
Did you lose me again?
No, we got you there. We got you there. You did cut in and out, but... yeah, just everyone. Eric's having a little bit of some internet issues, so he might sign off video for a little bit. And
yeah, I'm getting throttled, man. It's not cool.
He's getting throttled. He hit his data cap for the month. Don't worry, he's gonna go unlimited soon. So so anyway,
place people. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, he had to move in, and he's still figuring everything out. So yeah, Tyler Anderson was very apologetic because he realized that he's putting a lot of stress on the bullpen, and the bullpen came out that day and pitched 7 shutout innings, which was fantastic. So they answered the call. But, you know, with the Giants having to play, it was, 13 games in 12 days. That was kind of an issue. So, you know, and that also explains a lot of the transactions that the Giants have had to have. In fact, Wandy Peralta in that game went 3 shutout innings, only allowed, like, 1 hit. And his reward was getting sent down. So...
And it was such a great effort, too. It was like he was the unsung hero of that game.
Thanks, buddy. Now you got to go down because we need a fresh arm. So that's what the Giants have had to do. They're mixing and matching. They're like, okay, these 3 guys pitched 3 innings, 4 innings in the last 2 days. We got to send them down. Call up Rico Garcia and Sean Anderson. And then they pitch, and then they get sent down. And so this is kind of the whack-a-mole that they're playing right now. But, hey, they got to do anything they can to keep fresh arms in the bullpen because that's what's so critical right now. Then they went on the road, although technically they were road teams against Seattle. They did play at home and they won both games against the Mariners. Then they just drove across the bay, and they've had problems with Oakland this year. Obviously they lost 3 in a row, got swept at Oracle earlier this year. And unfortunately that trend continued with a 6-0 loss to Oakland. They only got 3 hits. Logan Webb struggled, looked like maybe more mental than physical. He gave up all 6 runs and 3 1/3. So again, the bullpen did well after he left, but you can't win if you don't score. And that was unfortunate. And that was really almost mirrored the next day. The score was exactly the same, 6-0 again. You know, this 18 consecutive shutout innings. There's a lot of bad defense in this game, Eric. Yeah, a lot of things that maybe weren't considered errors, but just the outfield was horrific. Obviously, they're down. We haven't even mentioned this yet. Mike Yastrzemski, mild strain in his calf. So he's out in the outfield. And then Alex Dickerson, not that he's a gold glover or anything like that, but he also went on paternity leave for the birth of his kid. And so you had a really weak outfield, including a Darren Ruff out there who, he made some rough plays for sure, missing fly balls and what have you. So didn't matter again because the offense didn't get going. So it wasn't like the defense cost him the game. But it does cost the pitchers extra pitches and for the defense to be out there longer. And then just maybe the offense doesn't feel like they have the ability to come back when suddenly you're down by 6 runs through 3 innings. You're just like, well, shit, we're already down, you know? So what are you going to do?
Especially Saturday being a carbon copy of Friday in that way. It's just, it just has to, we've played in plenty of baseball games where you do get that feeling when you get behind a team again, you're like, oh man, here we go again. And when you go to the plate, it's a little tougher. It's not that you're not trying to get a hit every time, but your adrenaline's a little different. Your mentality is just a little different. I agree with you on Webb. Some of it might seem mental. I hope if the Giants happen to make the playoffs, I don't want Logan Webb starting any games. I don't think he's proven himself to necessarily be a quality starter during this shortened year. They gave him a shot at it, and I'm sure he'll get one more start this week because they've got 8 games in 7 days. But other than that, I'd rather see him come out of the bullpen for anything positive. I mean, Gausman's got to start a playoff game, Cueto, and I would think Smiley if Smiley's healthy.
Yeah, I think at this point that's probably what they would go with. Obviously, many things can change here in this last week of the season, but Gausman again pitched well, only 1 earned run and 6 Ks over 6. So he did his part. He was more than effective. Yep. And when you look across the stat lines, including you know, not just the strikeouts and the velocity, but just the other stats, I think is really no contest. Gossman's been their best starter all year. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
100% agree. He's been the most consistent. Anderson is somebody who's shown flashes. I mean, the guy threw a complete game shutout this year. But and on the flip side, he has other games where he gives up five runs in 2 2/3 innings, and that's the end of him right away. And he, you know, he again has to tax the bullpen, not just for being a dumbass for not pitching well. So I think Gausman has shown that, and I hope he sticks around. I hope Smiley sticks around too. I can see a good rotation with those guys in it. And I honestly trust Farhan at this point, because so far all the moves we've seen, like Basabe, even Robertson, you know, the ability for them to identify Dubon and then convert him into an everyday center fielder really gives me hope for Zaidi finding good pieces for the rotation for the Giants moving forward. So I would think Gausman and Smiley should stick around. And I hope Gausman gets rewarded with a playoff start. He's the kind of guy who deserves it, you know?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Cueto, Gausman, and Drew Smiley would be their three for, you know, should they be heading to Atlanta or Los Angeles or Chicago? Right. They overtook Atlanta for the number two. So yeah, then yesterday here you are, game six against the A's, who are obviously an elite team this year. You've lost all five heading into this, and you're just like, man, the A's are going to cost us a playoff spot. We got to take at least one of these games. And the Giants did answer the call, and they just came out and crushed Oakland. I don't know if Oakland was happy with making the playoffs. You know, they had clinched a spot, and you know, the win at least did prevent the A's from clinching the West in front of the Giants, even though they were at their home park. It wouldn't have been a big deal, but it's kind of nice when you can play spoiler and push off that celebration, you know, for an extra day. But you know, the Giants, after a Chadwick Trump home run, had built a 4-0 lead, and in the top of the sixth, they loaded the bases. With Brandon Crawford stepping up to the plate.
Shuffle so you could go either way. Crawford hits a high drive to right. It is out of here. And it's a grand slam, and the Giants have busted it wide open. How about that?
Yeah, so they busted it wide open right there. How about that? 8-0. They go on to the football score of 14-2. The A's did score safety in that game. But you know what's really funny, Eric, is when you look at the series totals, the Giants scored 14 runs and the A's scored 14 runs. Alas. Yeah, alas. It was scored in very different ways and not with consistency and not spread out. So,
well, you get shut out 6-0 on back-to-back nights. You don't expect to even the run differential in the final game of the series. You just don't. You know, there's no way you can think 14 runs of offense is coming.
No, but think about this. You know, if they played a 27-inning game, they came back from a 10-run deficit. they were down 12.
They're the Dallas Cowboys.
12-run deficit. Sorry, they were down 12-0. Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys.
Atlanta, Oakland's Atlanta.
Oh, I was laughing at that game.
Just grab the ball.
They were just like, no, stay away from it. Don't touch it. It's a hand grenade. It's like, no, that's what you do on offense, guys. That's what you do on offense. Dummies. Anyway.
Oh, God. Sorry. One of the dumbest players I've seen in a long time.
And it wasn't one guy. It was like three of them standing around going,
all froze.
Like, don't touch the ball. And it was like, dude, just fall on it.
Yep.
That was classic. But anyway, so like I said, Crawford with a grand slam, homer for Trump. He had two hits, Darren Ruff had two hits and four RBI. Tyler Anderson allowed zero runs through 5 2/3. So, you know, they ended the week okay, 3-2, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen this week. Just to recap injuries real quick, Yaz is still out day-to-day with a mild calf strain. I don't think we expect to see him in the lineup today. We'll see about later this week against Colorado. Then Dickerson is back from paternity leave, and we'll see if he gets back in the lineup today. But those are two guys they would love to have, of course, especially Yaz down the stretch. But, you know, other than that, I just put in a stat check. For us to see where they were with a week to go in the season, the Giants are fourth in the major leagues, third in the NL in batting average at .266, something you're just not used to seeing. They're eighth in the majors in OPS. Even though they're 15th in home runs, They're ahead of Oakland, which I found surprising. I didn't realize the Giants had been out-homering Oakland. That's, like, weird.
How?
That's weird. I know. It's not by much. I think Oakland has, like, 66. The Giants have 68. Dodgers have 100, Eric.
Holy crap.
That's a lot of home runs, and the Giants have 68. They have 68% of the home runs that the Dodgers have. They're eighth in the majors in runs, and then if you flip the coin to look at pitching, that's where things... This is why it's such a weird mirror season, because usually these things are flipped, but the Giants are 18th in ERA, 16th in WHIP, and 13th in batting average against. So, you know, most of the middle-of-the-road stats, which is better than where they started, it just shows you the progress that the team has made in pitching over the course of the last month or so. But this explains to why they're basically middle of the pack. You're a 500 team. This is what your stats are going to look like.
They've played to it, and we've talked about, again, here we are. We're talking about we're looking, shifting gears, looking at the final week of the season and hoping they can get a playoff spot. And we talked about how being around 500 could get you a playoff spot this year. And you know, if you play to that form, all you got to do is get that one or two game, you know, to win. You know, it's like the batting average thing. You know, one little bleeder, you know, ground ball with eyes, and your average goes up. You know, the Giants eke out one more win, they can get it back. And it looks like Yaz is not in the lineup tonight. Let's see, Basabe starting in right field, Dix leading off. So yeah, he is back in the lineup today, and Dubon's moving up, and Trump gets to catch another day in a row. So Bart's getting a couple days off, which he really needs. He's been pressing. He needs to adjust back. He hasn't done it. He cannot adjust back to the pitching at the major league level. And I think I heard that quote come out over the weekend too. And that's exactly what it looks like. So giving Bart a rest, and Trump had a 2-hit day yesterday, like you just highlighted. So, you know, might as well give him the at-bats. And Johnny Cueto's pitching tonight, too, because he got bumped back a day because of a hip issue, which enabled Tyler Anderson to start two of the five games last week, and the Giants won both of his starts.
Yep. Yeah, Kapler said that he was giving Bart a mental break, a mental refresh of two games. So they started Trump yesterday, and right now Trump is going to be always catching Johnny Cueto. And we've talked about this before a few episodes ago, just is not comfortable. They don't have a good rapport, him and Bart. So, and it's not the language barrier. It's other things as well, and experience and things of that nature. So yeah, Bart, I mean, let's look at it this way. I mean, he's got 80 something at bats this year. He's got 30 Ks and he has two walks.
Yeah.
That's not a good ratio. And so he's definitely swinging at pitches he cannot drive. And Kapler acknowledged that they're exploiting him and they know his tendencies and they know what to do. They come in with a game plan. And he said, Joey has to adjust back, period. That's what he has to do. This is not the minors. This is not college where you can kind of get away with what you've always succeeded with. Now they know exactly where to go. They got advanced scouting analytics, and they got major league pitchers who can execute the game plan with a lot more precision than minor leaguers and college pitchers. So that's what Joe's experiencing right now. He's still hitting 240-something, which isn't great. But, I mean, again, you know, for a young rookie coming up and just being thrust into a pennant race, you know, this is kind of what I expected. I mean, I didn't expect him to come out. I think I would have expected one or two home runs by now. And he certainly crushed a couple that went off the wall that could have been home runs. But I mean, for the most part, by and large, this is kind of what I expected from him.
Those were like weeks ago too, though, it feels like.
They were.
I don't really feel like he's made solid contact. And I think the missing link in Bart's development right now is Gerald Posey. And when he comes back and gets to mentor him, because there's no veteran catcher leadership on this ball club. Trump is a younger guy too. None of the guys, Kapler's an ex-outfielder. Kai Correa was not a catcher. Wotus wasn't a catcher. Just the up and down their coaching staff. It's not like some old crotchety ex-catcher. If Bochy was the manager this year, Bart would be having a better year because Bochy can impart certain wisdom from the position. Because catchers kind of need another catcher to talk to. They are the only ones that know what it's like to go through the catching wars. And I don't think Bart has that veteran shoulder to lean on this year. And I think that might be the one flaw in Zaidi and Kapler's roster construction for this season. Having Heinemann and Trump and Bart as their catchers may be one of the weaker links. to this team, because everything else is pretty much clicking. Even with that thin outfield, the Giants were able to score 14 runs yesterday. So, you know, I kind of think that's the one place they're lacking right now. And hopefully Bart gets his head right. You know, if he comes back on Tuesday and homers, it's going to be like, okay, great, that worked. Let's just, you know, see what happens now.
I never really thought about that. But, yeah, Buster Posey would have been a great, you know, veteran presence and really helped him out with a lot of things. So that's a good point. So there's definitely hope for next year as he learns and then he has that veteran, you know, presence to help him out. So I think next year could be a, you know, should be a better year. Maybe not a breakout year, but certainly a better year.
No.
We'll skip transactions because it's just a myriad of what I had just said a few minutes ago. It was just a bunch of pitchers. Being called up and down all week long. No major transactions. No, you know, obviously we were past the trading deadline. Then I already mentioned Yaz's injury and then Dickerson going on and now off the paternity list. So for the most part, that's all that happened this week. All right, let's talk about coming up. We know that the Giants have all 8 games at home. They got 4 against the Rockies and 4 against the Padres. However, it's a doubleheader on Friday against San Diego. And for the second game of the doubleheader, the Giants will act as the road team. That's for one of the COVID-related, even though it wasn't COVID, games COVID-related. That was postponed
COVID
in San Diego.
Adjacent?
COVID-adjacent? COVID-like? Yeah, I don't know. COVID-flavored? Does COVID have a flavor? That's a good question. So, essentially 8 home games, but one of them they will be visitors. So, they're 16-9 at Oracle Park this year. I believe that does include the 2 games against the Mariners.
It does, yeah, it does, because you add that to 8 and it becomes 33, which is crazy to think that they're going to have 33 home games this year.
It is weird. 33 home and then 27 road. Very odd. So the Giants have struggled against the Rockies this year. They're 2-4. And then we know how bad they've been against the Padres at 1-5. So, you know, on paper, it doesn't look great. But again, every series is different, Eric. The Rockies have really hit a brick wall. They're not playing very well. And then, like we said at the beginning of the show, the Padres may be coming into this series with that number 4 seed locked up with nowhere to move. And they hopefully will want to reset their rotation and give some of their starters a little bit of a break. And they're going to play, clearly. They're not going to get 4 days off. They're not going to say, Tatis, sit down for 4 days. That's not happening.
Right.
But I do think that you're going to see them pulled for, you know, in the 6th inning, get one of the 4 games off, you know, those that kind of thing. And then certainly their number 1 and 2 is not going to be pitching on Saturday or Sunday. That's just not happening because they roll right into that first round, which they'll looks like they'll host maybe the Marlins at Petco right after the series.
That's weird.
I know. It's weird. The Padres and the Marlins. It's like, what? What kind of ultimate universe is this?
2020. I mean, when else could that happen?
So the good news, bad news situation, which we alluded to earlier, is the Reds and the Brewers are playing in Cincinnati starting tonight. So most of you would think, oh, that sounds like a good thing because one of those teams is going to lose at least 2 games, if not 3. Well, like I said earlier, with 4 teams vying for 2 spots, you might only be eliminating, quote unquote, one of those teams. And you still have 3 teams fighting for those 2 spots. And that one team is going to win 2 or 3 games. So if the Giants want to keep pace with either Milwaukee or Cincinnati, whoever is going to win 2 or 3 games in this series, you would hope the Giants win those 2 or 3 games against the Rockies just to keep up with them. And they still have the tiebreaker at that point because their interdivision record would have improved by just as much or the same amount. So that's not good. What is good is that the Reds do finish with 3 at Minnesota. Minnesota is obviously a good team this year. I haven't looked too much at the standings to see if Minnesota is going to have locked something up to the point where they're not playing their regulars, but I'm not too worried about that at this point. The Brewers finished with 5 games in like 3 days at St. Louis. They're going to play 2 doubleheaders. So that definitely puts both the Brewers and the Cardinals, who again, Cardinals could fall out of that second place position in the Central if the Reds were to overtake them and fall into the wild card race, and they would be relevant to the Giants. But 5 games in 3 days, that's going to be tough for both teams. And again, they're going to beat up against each other, but one of those teams is still going to win at least 3 games. So, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, maybe the Brewers can take care of the Reds this week, right, or this series, But then when they go to St. Louis, they lose 4 out of 5 to St. Louis or something, you know? You balance everything out so the Giants can overtake two or so of these teams. St. Louis has three at Kansas City before the 5 with Milwaukee.
And then you throw in, like you said, the Marlins are in there, and the Phillies seem entrenched as the second. Those two are going to be jockeying back and forth, the Marlins and the Phillies, for the 7 seed and the 5 seed.
Yeah.
And it would be a lot helpful for the Giants if one of these teams in the mix was Colorado instead of like Cincinnati or Milwaukee. Yeah. So that they can control their own fate that way and like knock out a team on their way, because that's exactly what you're describing between Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and St. Louis. Like one of those teams is going to knock the other one out along the way and claim a playoff spot. Yeah. It's just, can the Giants capitalize enough? And I think against Colorado they should be able to. I mean, Colorado's not playing for anything anymore, no matter what they tell themselves. And I know they'll put out a good lineup, but the Giants are a team on a mission right now. You would think that they're going to step it up. This is the most impactful baseball we've seen this late in the season since 2016. We're talking 4 years since the Giants were in any sort of race. And, you know, it's totally unexpected, which makes it great. But it drives you nuts that it's out of their control. This whole season being so fakakta, it just absolutely kills any chance, because the tiebreaker is how you played against other teams, not even how you played against the teams that are in the fight.
I know.
It's just, it makes it so unfair and so unbalanced. And that's why no matter what happens, this year has an asterisk. You know, if the Giants go on a tear and go 7-1 this week or 8-0 and move up to the 7 seed and then run rampant through the playoffs, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, this is as great as 2010, 2012 and 2014, because no, it's just not.
It's just not.
But
yeah,
it's not. I mean, I'm not going to, my outlook for next year also won't be any different, I don't think. I think that by getting to this point, which we did not expect, the Giants have matched our expectations for 2020. And anything beyond this is gravy. And if this team can pull it together on offense for a week and the bullpen can hold on to some things, because, you know, there'll be some shaky starts. Who knows if Cueto is actually healthy tonight? If they really can make a run at this, you know, we'll at least have some memories, but it won't be like, this is the greatest Giants team of all time. Yeah, that's not even, won't even be in the conversation. It'll just be like, hey, you remember 2020? That was fun.
Yeah, it'll be like, you know, I've never hit a hole-in-one, but it'll be like that one guy who hit a hole-in-one on like that 98-yard par 3. It bounced off a tree and went in and go, hey, I'm not good, but it went in. I got a hole-in-one.
Right.
You know, it's like same thing. Like you said, if the Giants were to get in and then make a run, you know, not even necessarily all the way to the World Series, but just make a run, we'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, it's fine. We know they're not one of the best teams in the league, but well, we'll take it. But that's what's going to be so weird about whoever wins the World Series. I mean, clearly, if it's, you know, one of the number one seeds or perhaps one of the number two seeds that wins the World Series, I mean, you can't knock it. You know, I still think it sucks because it's a crap year, but at least they were consistent throughout the year. And so maybe you can't take too much away from them. I'm looking at you.
That's
Dodgers.
Dodgers. Yeah. But well, that's fair. Here, let me ask you real quick. As a Giants fan, are you happy with the direction this club seems to be heading? Do you feel like they have improved over 2 months? Like, I don't know about you, but I feel positive about like the future going forward. And I feel like things could have gone horribly wrong after starting. What were they, like 8-16?
8-16. Yep.
Yeah. Things could have gone horribly wrong. And it's a testament to Kapler, honestly, and to the talent that Zaidi has found, because everybody's been contributing, that they've been able to climb out of that 8-16. And here they are at 26-26 with eight games to go. I mean, it really is. So it gives me hope for the future. So as a Giants fan, I didn't think we'd be sitting here today. I mean, I don't think you did. But do you have hope for the future now after watching this little shortened season?
Yeah, I mean, they're eight, like you said, they started 8-16. They've gotten 18-10 since then to pull up to 500. Yeah, I mean, you know, I forecast this team winning 27 games this year in our season preview. We checked these before. I think you forecasted 30. You're right on the mark right now. And Willie and Jen, a little bit over 30. They were very optimistic about it. But that's good. I mean, I was the lowest one, and it looks like they're probably going to exceed 27, right? I mean, they only have to win two games.
God, I hope
that. I mean, I know, right? Hopefully, they don't go 1-7, and then I'm exactly right. No, I don't want that. But yeah, they've absolutely exceeded my expectations this year, clearly. And you know, you look at their record; they've been under 500 in 17, 18, and 19. So if they finish this season, you know, right at 500, even if they miss the playoffs by game or something like that, I'm still going to consider it a very successful season. You know, it's going to leave a bad taste in our mouths if they do pull a 1-7 or 2-6, and they'll be under 500 and out of the playoffs. But it still won't erase most of the year where they were competitive. So, you know, one of these four teams might do that. One of these four teams might just completely fall on their face, right? You can't. All these teams can't go 6-2 or 7-1.
Right.
So, one of these teams is going to falter, and I just hope it's not the Giants with the performance luck they've had against both Colorado and San Diego. So you talked about this earlier in the game or in the podcast. This is a game, right? Game of life. So I had posed a question, and unfortunately, Willie couldn't make it today, but I thought it was an interesting one. How many wins is it going to take in those last eight games to get in the playoffs? And you already said 6. And that's right when I was writing this, that's exactly the number I was thinking as well, because clearly, you know, anything 4 or less is not going to do it. 500, I believe, is probably going to be just shy. If not, the Giants will lose the tiebreaker if they do tie at 500, right, at 30 wins. 5-3, to me, still one of these or two of these teams are going to go 5-3. Two of these four teams are going to go 5-3 or better. And again, they have the tiebreaker of the Giants. So that in itself pushes it to 6 wins. I think just mathematically, that just...
I agree.
That's it. I mean, and unfortunately, what that means is that they got to win 3 out of 4 in each of those two series or split and sweep. But point is, they got to win 3 out of 4 on average. And that's definitely not easy to do back-to-back series, Eric. But, you know, this team has won separate winning streaks of 7-6 this year. So they've proven they can do it. They've gone 15-5 in a stretch. That's winning 3 out of 4 for an extended period of time. So they definitely have the capability of doing it. And all the 8 games are at home where they're, whatever, 16-9. They're above 500. They play very well there. So, you know, I think it's quite possible. I don't know if I would give them a greater than 50% chance at this point because of those damn tiebreakers. That's what's killing me, is those damn tiebreakers. Now, I myself probably would put it also at about just under 50% chance of making it. I'm putting it like a 45%. I don't know. I didn't ask that question to you, but what do you think? What do you think the chances are?
Well, it's funny. I shared this stat this morning. So after the Giants beat the Mariners on September 9th, they were at 23-21, which is their high water mark of the season, 2 games over .500, which really, again, looks impressive as hell after you think about 8-16, because that's the end of that 15-5 stretch. And according to Fangraphs, after that win, the Giants had a 72.9% chance to make the playoffs. Hmm. After the last two weird, screwed up weeks, where the Giants only played 8 games, their now 500 Giants saw their probability drop all the way to 43.4%.
Oh, wow. I said 45.
Yep.
Almost.
So you're dead on, and it's got to be the tiebreakers that factor into that mathematical. That's got to be the back end of the equation, in a sense, that's, yeah, you know, pushing them down a few percentage points is losing those tiebreakers.
Yeah, yeah. Just out of curiosity, what do they put the Reds Brewers at?
I had it open on the screen, but since it was screwing everything up.
Oh, no worries.
I was on the tracker earlier because I was comparing the Giants to all that. Every one of those teams had a higher percent chance than the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants, of all the teams that you – because this is what I was doing my research. Of all the teams that you mentioned, you know, Cardinals, Brewers, Reds, the Giants have the lowest percent chance of making it. I believe the Reds might have the best percent chance out of all of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's not forget, we briefly mentioned the Phillies. They hold the 7th spot right now, but they're only a half game ahead of Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and the Giants. So, you know, with Bryce Harper going down too for I don't know how long, but again, I know he's got an injury right now. You could see the Phillies, you know, drop out as well.
Yeah, well, the Phillies are, here we go, I got numbers. The Phillies are 72.8 right now.
72.8, wow.
Yeah, Cardinals are at an 80.6%. So I take it back. The Cardinals were the team on all those that stood out. But that's because they've played the fewest games. They've only played 50 games.
Yeah, they have 10 games left. They're two games over, and they hold the number two central. So they have extra possibilities. The Giants don't have that option. You know?
No. So the Brewers and the Reds. The Reds are at 51.9. The Brewers are at 58.7. And then the Giants are at 43.6.
Yeah.
So the Giants are almost a full 10% odds less than the Reds and Brewers to take those last two spots, one of those last two spots. So the odds are not with them. And it's got to be because of that tiebreaker. That's got to be where it totally changes. Because the Giants have a 1.2% chance to win the World Series. So, hey, why not?
Woo! Right? So you're saying there's a chance. I'm not looking at the stats right now, but I know that Houston, I believe, is only one game over 500 right now. But they still hold on and will lock on to the number two spot in the West. And that's just, I think, a good example of this wacky season and how, I mean, I'm going to say it, it's unfair. Because, you know, here we are. If the Giants were in the AL West, they'd be a half game back of the Astros for the number two spot, right?
Yep.
And fighting for a wild card, or at least in a good spot for the wild card. So, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, we can't do anything about it. All the teams agreed to this schedule and playoff format and qualification process. So it's just,
to be fair, the Giants beat up on the Mariners like they should, and they beat the Rangers two out of three games. I think the Angels were the only bad team in the AL West they didn't take care of business against. And I'm guessing if we look back at the Padres, they probably beat the crap out of the Mariners, Angels, and Rangers as well. Because those teams, I mean, especially the Rangers, after Tatis smoked them at that grand slam, they went downhill, so they were one of the worst teams. And then you throw in the Diamondbacks and the Rockies as well, you can see why the Padres would have feasted on it. So the Giants, they just lost their opportunity. They didn't do it. They didn't win enough games against the weaker teams. It's Colorado is really what it boils down to. Being 2-4 against Colorado is what's killed them. If they somehow can sweep four games here and flip that to 6-4, I mean, it literally is a completely different outlook on the season. And that's how much each one of these games now matter, which is really just crazy to think. I mean, it's like we almost have like 8-7 NFL Sundays coming our way for the next 7 days.
That's true. You know, and the Giants have a really poor record against teams over 500. Even in there, they're okay against the Dodgers at 4-6. You know, and they're the best team in the NL. Like we just talked about, 1-5 against the Padres and 1-5 against the A's. I mean, you know, that's 2-10. If they had just, again, one or two more, I mean, they could be 2-4 against each of those teams, and that would have given them two extra wins. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay. The Giants maybe aren't going to be a playoff team because they're not a playoff team. And the only reason they even have a chance is because they're allowing more than half of the league to get in to the dance this year. So
yeah, that's true. But it is
this
a good
is a normal
sign.
Year. You know, they would have been eliminated a long time ago.
Yeah, they are beating the bad teams generally and losing to the better teams, which is a good sign for progress. So at least we got that going for them, because you want to see them beat up on the Diamondbacks and the Mariners. And what is that? 12 of their 26 wins came against Arizona and Seattle combined.
Yeah. All right, so we're both calling 6 wins, and that's going to put them at 32-28 for the year, which kind of sounds about right. Again, 31 wins might do it, but that tiebreaker, again, might get in the way. So it's going to be fun. The one thing I don't want to see happen, Eric, and well we're going to be – this is what's crazy. In 1 week, 7 days from now, when we record episode 209, we're going to know everything. And – it's just scaring me that I don't want to be sitting here in my desk a week from now going, God damn it, they lost because of a tiebreaker. You know, that's because then you're going to look at every single game and you're like, if they had won that game, if they hadn't blown that game. Remember those three saves in a row Trevor got that seemed like a year ago?
Yes, that's where I was going to go.
Oh, you think about these individual losses and how that made the difference. That made the difference. That made the difference. I don't want to be commiserating about that. If they're going to lose, I want them to lose by a game or two. Not, and even that would hurt still. Don't get me wrong. But the tiebreaker especially is just going to kill.
Because, I mean, if you lose by a game or two, it's just you weren't good enough. But if you lose by a tiebreaker, it's like, well, you might have been better, but you just didn't do something right at a particular time during the season. So it doesn't help you.
It doesn't help you. But all right, let's talk about the rest of this week. Besides the schedule, I'm going to be there at Oracle for Wednesday's game against the Rockies. They will still mathematically be in the hunt at that point. So hopefully it's exciting and they're going to go for the third win in a row against the Rockies and take a one-game lead in the wild card race. We'll see. So excited about
hopeful
that.
Dreams.
And then this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Pacific time, Eric and I have been invited to participate in a Giants trivia night. It's called Orange and Black Trivia for California Fire Relief. And it's been organized by Thomas Todd. He, of course, runs a trivia company, and we had participated in that about 6 weeks ago or so, and we won it. This has been expanded greatly, hasn't it, Eric? Him and Steve Berman, which is also known as Bay Area Sports Guy, have put this together, and all proceeds are going to benefit the Sonoma Family Meal and Big Basin Recovery Fund. So tickets are $30, and what's really cool is that Eric and I are going to be team captains. And so Giants fans will, the ones who go on and buy tickets for $30, they will be randomly assigned to teams. Now, other team captains, this is a pretty good list of Giants personalities, shall we say. We have Adam Copeland from KNBR. Of course, he does the morning shower hour and co-hosts with Murph and Mac in the morning. We got Allie Williams, our old friend, who used to appear in all of our bonusodes, or at least a lot of them, at Zeke's after games. She's still doing like the high school Cal report, and occasionally, I believe, is still at Giants games. She's going to be captaining a team. We got Andrew Baggerly, Bags, from The Athletic, who will be a captain
as
well.
That's not fair.
I know. Look, so Thomas is he's a trivia guy. He used to run trivia events at bars. He has this trivia company. He actually made it to Jeopardy. He didn't win, but he was there. Now Bags is a 3-time winner. He was on 4 shows in Jeopardy. That's kind of one of his claim to fame.
And we'll know it forever.
He not only is smart, but he is going. He knows way more about the Giants. And we know a lot about the Giants, Eric, but he knows way more about the Giants in his left pinky than in all of our bodies combined. So it's unfair, but that's okay.
He's the one that worries me. I honestly, from the whole list, Bags is the one that worries me. He really is. And I'll tell you a new name that was added to the list right now. I'll pick up with some of these names because I'm looking at Steve just shared a tweet. Grant Brisby will also be joining us, and apparently he is also.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
He will also be captaining a team. You've got Kerry Crowley from the Bay Area News Group, Homeroom, as he is affectionately known on Twitter and by the old Hank Shulman. Cole Kiper, host of Triples Alley and son of Dwayne Kiper, obviously. Cole will also be helming a team, and I wonder if they're Cole and Teresa Vignal will team up to be captains like we're teaming up on the TortureCast team. So they might do Triples Alley, especially with Grant joining on. And Chad mentioned it. Tickets are $30, and Bay Area sports guy Steve Berman, he literally just tweeted this 10 minutes ago. He said tickets are selling fast, so don't wait. We will throw the link into the show notes. Did I miss anybody? Oh, I missed Marty Lurie.
Yep. I was going to say, Marty Lurie. Now, one thing I neglected to mention, just like last trivia event, this is trivia only covering Giants trivia from the year 2000 and present. So anything that's happened while they've been in the new ballpark. So I was a little concerned. I didn't realize it was going to be 2000 to present because I was thinking, oh, God, Marty Lurie is going to dominate because he's like, that reminds me of a game I went to back in 1962. You know, it'd be like, good luck, you know.
But it's going to be 2000. I think I could go toe to toe with Marty because I know some old school Giants crap. You know, I know it's the most random things about like Wes Westrum that nobody's like, and people are like, who the hell is Wes Westrum? So I think I can go toe to toe with Marty, but I'm with you. He would have dominated that.
No, this looks really good. Bonita Hill, Eno Harris, who else? Dieter from KNBR. I mean, this is a pretty heavy-hitting lineup. And now that they got Grant Brisby, I was wondering about that too. I mean, there's not too many guys left. Some of the old stalwarts like Hank Shulman and things of that nature. But, maybe they're too old for this, but Marty's in. So Anyway, you can go to giantstrivia.eventbrite.com. That will take you to the purchase page to buy a ticket. And we cannot guarantee that you would be on anyone's team, let alone ours. But let's be honest, you wouldn't want to be on our team. You'd want to be on one of these other teams. I know. We get it. We get it. We're playing with some bigger people in this whole event. But it's $30. Again, everything benefits charity for the fires, and really, really cool event. So I don't anticipate Eric and I are going to be defending our title, but it's going to be fun regardless. And again, it's for a good cause. So again, giantstrivia.eventbrite.com. You can look it up on Twitter. Just go follow Bay Area Sports Guy, and you'll find all that stuff. So pretty cool. I'm excited about it. Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific. The one thing I don't know, Eric, is if anyone asks, I don't know if you can watch it publicly, live, or even after, if there's going to be a recording. Like, if maybe you want to just check it out, but you don't have the funds, you can't participate, or you check out too late and it's already sold out. I don't know. So we'll try to get that information to you, because I think it would be a lot of fun to have a recording at least, so Giants fans can kind of check it out after the fact.
Yeah, and like you said, 7 p.m. Pacific, so if there's anybody across the other side of the world that wants to jump in, do the math accordingly, because I have no idea what 7 p.m. Pacific is in Australia or New Zealand.
Right.
Just say it if you want to come out and represent, because I feel like, you know, we're at the Academy Awards, and it's just an honor to be nominated, you know? Because with these heavy hitters, I mean, we're gonna get so lost in the shuffle that we got to win to make a name for ourselves, right?
Yeah, we might be in the shadows, but it'll be fun nonetheless. I just don't want to finish last. But again, part of it's going to depend on the strength of the lineup that we get of Giants fans. And Thomas let me know that fans are going to be randomly assigned. So, I mean, you could have a situation where we get some insane Giants knowledge on our team that carry us to a good performance thing, you know, pick up the slack for things that we just don't know. Or you could have all those strong, you know, players go to Bags and they just decimate everyone. But I have a feeling that Bags might be able to take care of it just by himself. We'll see. I don't even think he needs a single person on his team to do well. I think he's going to be just fine. So that's the problem. But I even talked to Thomas about it, and he said, yeah, Bags is absolutely the early lead as far as him and Steve are concerned. But they wanted him on there because, you know, he's a good name and a big name, and he'll probably bring out some esoteric stories and trivia that will be like, whoa, I had no idea. You know, hopefully some anecdotes for the years he's been covering the Giants. But anyway. Yeah, check it out.
It should be a fun time. Yeah, come join us. I mean, we'll be just as much fans as you will be if you come join us. Trust me on that.
No kidding. I had to move some stuff on my schedule to try and make this. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 208. This is our last mid-regular season podcast. Hopefully, we come back to you next Monday in episode 209, talking about how the Giants are the number 7 or 8 seed and are playing the Dodgers or the Cubs. So hopefully we'll be talking about that. So you can follow us on Twitter at TortureCast, like us on Facebook by the same name. Check out our website at TortureCast.com. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know where to get them, but it's everywhere. It's on Stitcher. It's on Google Podcasts. It's on Apple. You name it. You know, it's probably there. You can follow us individually, myself at ChadK21, for Eric at 2OutHits with the number 2, and for the absent Willie, you can follow him at WillieDills. And don't forget, check out these videos. If you're listening audio only, that's fine, but if you ever want to look at our ugly mugs, these do appear on YouTube on our TortureCast channel, so you can just do a search for that there. Links are also on our website as well. All right, Eric, you got anything else?
No, just strap it in, folks. It's going to be fun no matter what happens. And remember, since it's 2020, who really cares what happens? I mean, they could win it all, they could go 0-8, but in the overall haul, it doesn't really matter. They were just a nice distraction for a few months, and I'm happy baseball came back.
Yeah, I'm nervous, but you know what? I think it's going to be fun, and we're going to see what happens here. Just trying to play us out to some music, but I'm not going to do that. That's all right. All right, for episode 208, this is Chad and Eric signing off. We'll see you next week for the playoff-bound Giants. And it's episode 209. Until then, have a great week. Aboom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.